Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two Black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanik.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back.
We're back, everyone.
We are back. This week, we are just doing a singlet.
Yes.
Isn't that, what is it, a singlet? Is a singlet like, that's like a tank top, right?
I thought that was what they call the cheese, but I realized it's craft singles. So I guess a singlet is maybe lingerie or, yeah, a t-shirt, not cheese.
Yeah, I think it's like another word for, I guess, wife beater. We really need to come up with another
word Congress. You know,
like wife beater, because it's a very specific type of tank top. Do you know where the origin of that word comes from?
Wife beater or singlet?
Wife beater.
Because of like some stereotype of people being shown wearing that shirt and then beating their wives in TVs and movies.
No, actually, I looked it up. It's from a news story. There was a, I don't know what year this was, so don't hold me on it, a man who beat his wife, and I think she might have died. I don't know if she died. She might not have died. But on the cover of the newspaper, they called him like a wife beater, like as a wife beater, as like the single word. And in the photo of him being arrested, he was wearing
that singlet.
The tank top. So the singlet. And then that then became like that. So I always thought it was the stereotype too, but actually it's like comes the origin comes from like one person. Ooh. You know, so random fact.
Interesting. But thank you for educating us.
Yes, of course. You know, I love it's what this podcast is, an educational podcast. So I'm fulfilling my duties. Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm not doing great. I think today was a day of feeling overwhelmed, of just like feeling overwhelmed. And so, but I am kind of, I'm planning calling in sick someday coming up. So that's giving me reassurance.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Use those sick days, people.
Yes. But I think last week I was talking about how the blue skies are back and the pollution in Beijing isn't that bad. But here we are today. I literally am dealing with like my, anytime the pollution is really bad, I get like migraine symptoms. So I'm not my best today, but I showed up, you know, showing up for you guys.
Yep.
You all. And this will be, lifting my spirits, you know? Yeah. But
yep. That's good.
How are you doing, Sanik?
I'm also struggling. I had a great weekend with my nephew's birthday, but I think from helping set up and just like all this running around we did, I think I re-injured my back. So I took off work yesterday because I woke up and it was just like really bad. And I was like, listen, I got to take the good meds and that will knock me out. Mm-hmm. So I cannot come to work because I literally woke up. I'd taken like a muscle relaxant the night before, woke up back still like on fire. I was like, I'm going to do another one this morning. And then like I had to let her know like I will be asleep. And lo and behold, I took it and I woke up at like almost 12 o'clock. Like I just like was like knocked out. Or like, you know, you're like, you take medication that makes you sleep. So you're like sleeping when you wake up sometimes and you're like, going to sleep. And you're like,
Yeah. I watch Intervention. I know.
Hey.
It's not a problem. You need the pain meds. But what I'm saying is, I've seen Intervention.
I do need it. Yeah. So I was doing that and then I just kind of rested yesterday. This morning, it's not as bad as it was, but it's still pretty painful. So I've got my heating pad going and I'm supposed to go to dinner later, but we'll see. I'm playing it by ear at this point. My husband's boss invited us out to dinner with some other people and I'm just like, I really want to be able to show up because I am the personality in this relationship, and I have to, like, I have to get us this promotion. It's, guys, it's the 50s. I'm like, the boss is coming over. I have to make sure the gelatin's right.
Yeah, where's your gelatin dessert, your mayonnaise-based everything, and your hoop skirt? Yes,
and I'm doing it all in heels. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, no, we don't have enough gin. What are we going to do? So, yeah.
But
we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. That's me.
But I feel that being the energy in the relationship, I feel that with my relationship, my significant other is not the socialite, and I'm not either. But I gotta pull it off for both of us, 'cause he can't fake it.
Yeah,
I'm training him, but he can't fake it, and it's hard. So I feel you on that one.
Yeah. But that's me today. So hopefully throughout the day,
yes,
there's some stretches and this heat. And I think I'm going to work from my couch or my bed.
Yes.
It'll start to loosen up a bit. But
something ergonomically sound.
Yeah. Yeah. I just need to get better. But anyway, that's it. I would like, if we have any, some messages from our listeners, that always brightens my day a little bit.
We do. So we have a listener letter from a new listener, and it's from Vanessa. And Vanessa says, I just started listening to you guys after I heard you on The Shore Store with Justine. Which, shout to The Shore Store with our friend of the pod, Justine.
Shout out to Justine.
And they say, I have to say, I love your pod. Sonique's MIA impression gives me life, which I totally forgot that you did. Like this, MIA? The singer, like flying, what's that, paper planes? No one on the corner got swagger like us. Du, du,
du. Did I do an MIA?
Yeah, it's better than mine, so I'm gonna stop doing mine.
Now when I'm at corners, got swagger like us.
Yeah, nailed
it. Get me on the band, prepay white loss. I feel like I've never done that before, but I believe you.
It wasn't until I read this that I was like, I remember that happened. I feel like maybe a few episodes back.
Okay.
But
well, thank you.
Yes. Vanessa says, I love when you make each other laugh and love your takes on this great, often bonkers show. So thank you, Vanessa. That's a delightful little DM. Thanks,
Vanessa. That was nice.
Yeah. But that's all I got.
That's very nice.
So I'm ready to jump into the episode, whatever you are.
All right. Be sure to hit us up at EWS Pod if you got something to say. You want to give us a little shout out? You want to give us a little a comment? I love to hear the commentary about, you know, about the show, about the episode we watched. So let us know. This week we are, sorry, I'm going to do MIA for the rest of the day. All right. Episode 4 is tricky. Ashley says.
It's actually pretty good.
Stop. Should I try it? I'm going to do the synopsis.
Okay, yes,
hold on, let me see how to do it. It's tricky. Synopsis. Ashley decides to practice music again after she does not receive credit for a song she wrote on Craig's album, but finds herself outshone by Jimmy. Meanwhile, Mia, that's me, M-I-A, that's me, blah, 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 boyega, boyega, has problems with her locker buddy and mean girl, Holly J, and when they both vie for Sav's affection. Okay, that was awful. If there are any British listeners, please don't invade us. Anyway, again, cold open. Oh, sorry. What? Oh, this is yes, your part.
I've got it.
My bad. Yeah, you got it. I started reading. I was like, I don't even have all these notes written down. What I'm saying.
Right.
You go.
No worries. I got you. We get our cold open. We're in media immersion class. The catch-all of Degrassi.
Of course.
And Ashley Spinner, so many people are there. Ash Spinner, Emma, Toby, Jimmy are all looking at Craig's album. And Spinner's kind of rocking out to it. He's like, damn, it's got some bops. And it's very clear that, like, it's very much like the same way that Drake, when his claim to fame, like, Canada was like, that's us. Yes, that's us. Craig is having the same effect.
Yeah.
With this fictional fandom.
Craig is their Shania Twain.
Their Shania, their Avril, their Alanis, you know, everything.
They're Justin.
They're Justin.
You know, so many famous, so many talented Canadians.
I guess, but they...
I'll give them that.
Let us know, Canadian listeners, or really anyone that is more versed than we are. I feel like there must be. There's no Craig on that list. We have Alanis, but we don't have, like, a male Jason Mraz. Who's someone better? Like, that, like, folky rock. I feel like
they definitely do, but we just don't. A person is probably, like, a really stealth Canadian. Because sometimes they sneak on you. So Canadians are, they're real crafty like that. They sneak on you, and then you're like, you're Canadian?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, and then when you realize it, then it's, like, you have flashbacks, and you're like, oh, my God, he does say a boat.
Oh, my gosh. We're probably missing someone, like, so major, and we're just not even realizing it.
Did you see Celine?
No, but we forgot Celine, too.
French-Canadian queen, Celine Dion.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, who needs Craig? We've got everybody we need. We've got enough talent there. We don't need another male energy.
Yeah.
But Ash is in her fifis because she didn't get credit from the song that she wrote, and she's pissed. And also, we learned throughout the episode that basically the entire album is named after the sexcapades of Craig through Degrassi.
Craig sucks. Like, the titles aren't even, like, secret. Like, one of them is She's the Ash.
Mm-hmm.
Redheaded for Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Thong Girl, Wrong Girl.
Fuck you, Craig. That's like your nearest ex.
Fuck you. your ex who literally put up with your coke habit and then tried to be like, what the fuck? And then you were oh my God.
Yeah.
Craig needs to go back to rehab and really, like, work the steps again. Because he hasn't really taken any accountability. He hasn't really made amends yet. He needs to, like, maybe consider.
He needs to talk to his sponsor, because naming songs after the people you've wronged is not making amends, you know? Like,
no.
That's not it.
Without their permission, plus also stealing one of the songs from one of your exes.
That you literally cheated Craig on with shit. Another girl and got her pregnant. Like, Craig.
With Thong Girl, you also wrote a song about her, too.
It's not... whatever.
It's a mess.
But that being said, Craig could literally meet me tomorrow when this album is released, and I'd give it up for everything. I'd be like, take me now.
Yeah, probably.
I would fangirl hard.
Go ahead, write us. What do you think the song he writes about you'd be called?
It's not going to be anything flattering. It's going to be something worse than... It's going to be bad. And something to make fun of me about being like a desperate American, maybe. And maybe
damn.
I can't even speak. Maybe racially charged. I wouldn't put it past Craig.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yellow boner.
He's a yellow boner. Oh my God. Yellow boner. That snap. That was good.
Oh my God. I can't believe that came out of my mouth. I have never in my life referred to myself as a yellow bone, but I feel like Craig would say that about me. I just have a feeling.
Yes, he would. Drake would also say that about me, too.
They would have a duet.
Oh my God.
Yellow, forget Ash. It's going to be Drake and Drake and Craig.
Oh my God. Yes, that was amazing. That's exactly what your song would be called.
Oh my gosh. Well, what about yours?
Track. It's like track. Like, three.
Track three, definitely.
Mine?
Mm-hmm.
My first thought because people oftentimes are like, oh, Sanique, like unique. So I feel like it'd be something like that. It wouldn't be like Sanique, like unique, but it'd be like, say unique or something, like, ugh, like a little like stupid play on my name. It's like, oh, yeah.
Or like, sure. Say anything, right? Because that was like your handle for, is it still that? Is your handle still Say Anything?
No, not anymore. It used to be that. Oh, so apologies. My dog is flipping out because there's other dogs in the world. Yeah, that was it. It would be something like that. But nothing's ever beating Yellow Boned her. That's the best thing I've heard.
So, oh my congrats. Gosh, I could die now. I've fulfilled my life's work. I'm done tapping out. yeah, Ashley's really pissed.
Listener, let us know what you think your song title would be.
Oh my gosh, please, listener.
I want to know.
Forget like your stripper stage name. Forget your porn name. We want to know what is the track name to Craig's diss track about you, but also it's a bop.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I'm listener. You better deliver because I'm ready to read these.
Fucking deliver. If you don't deliver, we're not doing the podcast anymore. Like that's how high the stakes are right now. We'll quit. Okay.
Oh my god. But yes, Ash didn't get the credit from the talent show, but she's at this point she's kind of downplaying it. She's trying not to make a big deal out of it. Because I think Jimmy's right there as well. And she does. I think she's like, I don't want to like, you know, be sad about my ex that's now famous for music around my current boyfriend that got shot. You know, it's tough.
It's just a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Toby, which I totally forgot, Toby is the step sibling to Ashley, is mentioning that the talent show is right around the corner and it could be time for her to come out of retirement.
Yep.
Get out that keyboard. Sad Ash is coming back.
Give us that ha 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 voice that she does. Like, I want to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we do.
Oh, just you wait. Jimmy and Ashley later in a different class, they end up getting back a test, and they both do well, and they're talking about their future and their dreams, and this scene was so weird. I just thought it was so weird. I ended up posting it on my story, but I ended up sharing it to, our Instagram, EWS Pod, and, Ash is sitting next to Jimmy in the classroom and, you know, they're talking about the dreams and Ash is like, listen, you know, I'm inspired. I kind of want to get back into music and follow my dreams. And Jimmy's like, inspired by Craig? And Ash is like, Jimmy. And she stands up and like puts her arms around Jimmy and is like, I'm inspired by not only Craig, but Jimmy too, with his art, his guitar playing, and mad freestyle rhyming. And then I just feel like this was such a Drake moment because it's like, oh man, like I feel insecure. Like I need someone to streak my ego.
Yeah, literally. He's like, oh, you like Craig. And it's like, girl, no, she doesn't. Like she's over Craig, clearly. Like
yeah.
Long over him.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And then he spits some shit for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't write it down, but he like does either. a little freestyle. And she's like, oh, how do you do it? How do you just come up with that?
Listen, I'm convinced that he paid off like some of these writers to be like, listen, give me some street cred. Give me some Degrassi street cred, please. Write it into the script.
I mean, but definitely, you know, I will give Degrassi this. Or I like it when shows like recognize that their talent has other talents and then try to like work it in.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, like he, like, you know, maybe like he's been rapping around set and they're like, hey, Aubrey, we didn't know you could do that. Like, why don't we like make Jimmy like a rapper? Never seen that before, right? A rapper in a wheelchair? Huh? Yeah, that'll be kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
A rapper?
A redemption story. A hip-hop star?
Yeah.
And but it's, I mean, we're getting like Drake grins. Like the era of this era of Jimmy is like quintessential, because it was 2008, so this is right before his like big debut album, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember I had a poster of him in college.
This is just before he would have dropped You the Best.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was his first like single, right? That was like, the first one.
I'm a fake fan, so I don't know, but that sounds right.
I think that was the first like hit, or like he probably had other things I never heard of, but I remember that being the one that was on the radio all the time. And I think at some point on the end, they would play it in the commercials, because it was like, you know, like, oh, that was yeah, our guy. We discovered him first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was You the Best. That song, mm-hmm, was, oh my God, they used to play that song so much on the radio.
So good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good song.
So we get a scene at the lockers. Mia and Holly J are sharing a locker because, again, overcrowded schools, we need to share a locker. And they're fighting over baby stuff that's in the locker from Mia. And Holly J is like, listen, you're cramping my style, bitch, baby mama.
Listen, Mama Mia, which is that's a really good day. I do, yeah, like that. That's a good insult for a teen mom named Mia.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Holly J, if anything, knows how to like rip you to your core. She knows.
Oh, she does. She knows how to come up with a mean nickname.
Mm-hmm. But while they're fighting, Mr. Hunkalicious Sav walks by, and he catches the eye of both of them, and he recognizes Mia. He's like, wait, I recognize you. And then she's like, yeah, I used to go to Lakehurst. I'm that girl. And then he's like, wait, yeah, and you were the one that had the baby. And that was tough.
Yeah, that was rough. But also, surely she has to know that's like what her reputation will be. Like, mm-hmm, you're the girl who had a baby. Like, mm-hmm, yeah, I would hate to be reduced to that. But like in high school, I think also would have been like, oh, yeah, the pregnant one.
Yeah, like, come on, girl. This is how we remember stuff.
Yeah, you stand out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was this transition music that I wrote down. It was 1970s Shaft-esque R&B music that I was like, possibly, mm-hmm, Drake mixed that himself. It felt out of place for the show.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. Anytime we hear a hip hop or an R&B tune, we know that a black person's about to be on the screen. And,
oh, absolutely.
And we see Spinner and Jimmy are in the gym, and they're watching Ash on stage kind of rehearsing for the talent show. And Jimmy is just like kind of really admiring her and being like, oh my gosh, like very genuine. Like, I want her to follow her dream. And I don't want her to feel like she has to, that she gets left behind because of me.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, very genuine. And like, he's like, I just want the best for her. Like, she's talented, which is sweet.
It's pretty sweet.
It is. It is very sweet. But while Ash is on stage, there's a lot of kind of younger year girls, or, you know, younger girls kind of fangirling about her, and Ash is really excited, but then she realizes they're just fangirling because it's Ashley who performed with Craig on this stage. They're just one degree of separation away from him now.
They're literally like, oh my God, you're Craig's, we have a piece of Craig with us. It's like, that's weird.
Very weird.
That is a weird thing to say to somebody. And they're like, they think it's totally fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's a piece of meat. And it's tough. We get to the uni house. Ash and Ellie are recapping the album. They're sitting there hanging out to listen, jamming. And Ellie is like, damn, this is like good. Like, fun, Craig, but this is good. This shit slaps.
She's like, sorry, girl, but like, he is talented. We all fell for the same thing.
Right. It's
lest we forget.
It's tough. But this is when the new roommate from last episode, do you remember his name?
Griffin.
Griffin.
Griff.
Right. Yes, Griff. Yes. Griff, the new roommate, mentioned, he comes in and he's like, hey, that song is really good. And Ash is like, he is asking for details about it. And I think Ash is playing a mix of her and Jimmy.
Yeah. She's playing like something, I think, with two of them.
Okay.
Or is it just like her song? Yeah, no, it's a mix of two of them because he's like, oh, wow, like the rhymes are really that? Great.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. Who's that spitting over the beat? Wow. It's really good.
Oh, God. The young Scooter Braun, you know, he's looking for new talent.
Just like swing in there and just like ruin a life.
Mm-hmm. He's like, Ash is like, oh, that's me. Like I'm there. And he's like, yeah, you guys should come to the open jam. And Ash is like, oh, you know, I don't know if, wait, okay, sorry. I didn't take my notes down, but what we're talking about is correct. The guy hears Jimmy and Ash, and he's more interested in Jimmy than Ash is.
Yeah, he frames it as like, oh, wow, like, you guys are great. But like, you could tell he's a little bit more interested in Jimmy than right. like Ashley.
Yes.
But like, you know, but he's like, oh, cool, like, they're both, like, you're good, but then also, like, but he's clearly, like, better.
Right,
just yeah. more interesting, yeah.
Yes, but yes, definitely want the two of them. The next day,
Oh yeah, because when she says it to you, he's like, "Oh, the guy in the wheelchair," because he was like had been right. at the house earlier. When she says, "Oh yeah, it's my boyfriend," and he's like, "Oh man," he's also like the writers in Degrassi. He's like, "The guy in the wheelchair can rap. Getting shot in the back didn't affect his rapping abilities."
Yeah.
Wow, crazy.
I mean, the crazy thing is that like the Is it VH1 or MTV that was did Behind the Music or Diary? VH1. And then MTV was Diary.
Diary did MTV, yeah.
Okay. I feel like if Jimmy had a Diary episode, I mean, that's fucking gold in the music industry of like the most tragic backstory. And he's yes. in a wheelchair. They're going to eat that
it's
up.
It's like, oh, he's performing at the VMAs. So let's see him like prepare for the VMAs. Yes. And they're making like the stage more accessible. And there's all these like little like things going on. It's like, oh, like what if we put you.
Yes. His entire storyline is just that he's in a wheelchair.
You on like a big turntable. So you're like wheeling on like the turntable.
You know they would.
It would you be, know, like 2002 VMAs, they would love that. Like, oh, this would be so cool.
Mm-hmm. They would try to be like make it more like inclusive, but then they just make his entire personality that he's in a wheelchair.
Be like he's in a wheelchair. Yeah. Yeah.
He's the wheelchair rapper.
Yeah,
that's him.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. God. Definitely, the music industry loves to bang on like. What is your difference? And then we're going to, like, just make that your whole personality.
Oh, and that's what Griff is noticing. He's like, ah, bankable.
This yes. is it. Yes, he's like, perfect. He's like, I'm gonna swoop in here early.
And he just has to be the wheelchair rapper that got shot. Not, like, in gang violence, but in a school shooting where he's one of yeah. the only brown people. But we don't have to mention that. He just got shot, and now he's in a wheelchair. So it's street cred.
Yeah, street cred.
Unfortunately, Drake never got any of that, so his backstory kind of is lacking.
Yeah, Drake has no street. That's why he's so corny.
I know. Oh.
Because he has no, like... Well, because it's just, like, it's just funny seeing someone trying to act hard when it's, like, you were on Degrassi. Like, we know how you were raised.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw your bubby. Yeah. Like, relax.
Literally, you're a stage kid, like, or you're a child actor.
You're a kid, yeah. You're a child actor. Like, stop.
We get to the media immersion room, aka the recording studio at Degrassi, and Ash and Jimmy are, you know, she's got Audacity open. It's very clear that it's a free no shade to Audacity, because that's what we used to record. But it's a free mixing software for sure.
Oh, for sure. She's not paying for that shit.
Nope. But they're having some creative differences over what should go down, what sounds good.
Yeah, she's like, oh, the harmony, and it's we have to, like, and then it messes up, like, the beat, or I don't know. They're just, like, saying words, and I'm like, sure, that's problematic. And she's, like, getting frustrated with him, too, because he's trying to, like, give some input, and she's like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's giving, was it, like, season one or season two, where PMS was having some creative differences, and Paige was like, listen, I know what the pop girlies want, and it's not this sad ass song, okay? Give us some life.
She said, she's like, Mr. Simpson, give us like, can you like a poppy beat? He's like, I got this. listen, that song was a bop though.
Listen.
I liked it.
they called Mr. Simpson back in, because that's what they need.
I know. Yeah, that's what they need. They need his expertise.
Jimmy, forget Ash. Like, this is the producer that you want to go with, okay? Like, forget mm-hmm. Love.
Yeah.
But Ash is getting very frustrated, and Jimmy's like, listen, whatever you think is best. He's like, so like genuine. It's kind of, you're like, this can't end well. Surely this can't end well.
No, he's like, I'm sure whatever you choose is gonna be beautiful. And she's like, but I understand where Ash is coming from, though. That must suck to be like in the shadows of like a man, mm-hmm. like, who you wrote a song, he stole your song, and now you want to like do your own thing, and now here comes a man, like, actually, like, let's do it together. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. you know, it's like Ariana trying to make her cocktail book and Tom Sandoval being like, I actually think we both should have one together. And it's like, now you have to do it with him. You know? I hope she comes out with a new cocktail book on her own.
And it's all just like, it's actually diss tracks about Tom. It's the reverse.
Ariana, I think like together we could make a really good band. Like, no, fuck off, you fucking loser.
Also, I feel like
your whack ass cover band.
I feel like Ashley is, I guess Craig would be more of a Tom Sandoval in this situation. But the way that Ashley's treating Jake, it's not looking good. You're giving us a wannabe rock star that's very Tom Sandoval, you know?
Yeah, true.
We get to the calf, and Mia and Manny are discussing how hot Sav is. And Mia's, this seems so funny, Mia's like, maybe it's too soon, you know? Because my ex. And I'm like, you mean JT?
You mean your dead ex-boyfriend who died like 2 days ago?
Your like surrogate stepfather? Come on. Like, yeah, it's too fucking soon.
And let's not forget that later on when she goes on that date with Sav, she brings the child to get him. Like, you need to stop bringing your baby like to every date you go on. Like, I understand she's a teen mom. Maybe she can't find a babysitter, but maybe wait till you can and then go on a date. It's like, you cannot, like, have you explained to Isabella that JD's dead? Is she old enough to understand that? I don't know. How old is she supposed to be? Like 2 or 3? She looks big.
Like, yeah, she looks like she could, like, in another year be in kindergarten.
Yeah. So, like, have you explained to her, like, what, like, gang wars are and, like, stabbing deaths? Like, knife crime?
Definitely,
like,
not.
Have you explained that to her? Now you're bringing Sav around? Like, girl, it's giving Janelle. It's giving Janelle Evans.
Listen, like, I was about to say, I was like, which team mom is it? But it's very Janelle.
Janelle, it's giving Kale. It's giving Leah. It's giving Leah. It's, like, you need to chill.
It's giving everyone but Caitlyn, because Caitlyn's stuck with the OG. Like, it's yes. Yeah. It's like giving everyone else.
Stop bringing your kids around everybody you kind of want to date.
Yeah. But guess who's overhearing all this? It's Miss Holly J, who's trolling from behind them. And this is when we realize that Holly J is short for Holly J Sinclair, Miss Heather Sinclair's younger sister. We finally have a face.
Yes, we have a face. So we can assume that Heather looks kind of like her.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Like a Scottish... How do white people describe their heritage? It's like, I'm Dutch. They like, they'll say like Dutch, Scottish, third century or something. I'm not saying it right, but there's a way that
I don't know what you're saying. But they just say, they say they're Scottish. Like, there's no.
I'm thinking of like of the people that are like, oh, the Quaker, like pilgrims. Maybe I'm thinking of Mormons. I'm mixing everyone together. I'm mixing all the white heritages together. My apologies to the white community.
I don't know anyone who's ever described themselves as Quaker, unless they actually were Quaker, like they were the religion Quaker.
Like when they, like, there's like sometimes like when people are talking about like where, like their heritage of where they come from.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll just say like, oh, we're like Irish and like French on my mom's side, or like my mom's side.
Yeah, I feel like
one quarter Dutch. Like, I don't know.
The thing I'm thinking
of, what you're thinking,
starts with Dutch, and then it's like a phrase. It's like Dutch. I can't think of it. Listener, if you know, please let me know. If not, I'll look it up. I'll mention it next week.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll give you the Sinclair's heritage next week. I'll look up their family tree.
Okay.
We get to the talent showcase, which unfortunately is at lunchtime, which is tough.
Which is a terrible time to do, like, to do a thing. Because, like, okay, so in comedy, there's something called eating a check.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
No.
If you work at a club, right? So there's different types of venues you can do comedy in. If you do like a club where usually people are ordering drinks, there's food sometimes. Usually there's food. You know, like mozzarella sticks and shit, you can order food. Yeah. Eating the check, that spot is the worst spot to want to do a set, because that means when like the checks are coming out, because people are not really paying attention. They're dealing with like their cards. They're not really paying attention. So usually, ideally, if there's a host, well, there always is a host. The host will probably do some stuff during that period of time so the comics don't have to. But sometimes if you're like a new comic and you do get put up on a club, then you might have to take that shitty spot. And I feel like this entire cabaret is just eating the check, because you're doing it like – this isn't a restaurant where people have their food and they're at least they're seated and they're like just – you have like a captive audience. It's cafeteria time. So like people are moving around, they're getting their food. It's just an awful time to be doing I'm like, why don't you just make this a talent show? Like after school. You guys already do shit after school all the time. Might as well just do it then. As opposed to like, oh, let's do a talent show during lunch. Like,
yeah. And you're asking
people having food fights over there. Like, literally. What? You're asking a lot.
And they're teenagers.
Especially when you consider that like all day you're in class, you have to keep your mouth shut. So lunch is the one time where you can like socialize with your friends. Like, really? So it's like, I don't want to have them like be quiet to watch someone play a keyboard. Like, exactly. I would like to be talking to my friends.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All that being said, Ash should have read the fucking room and realized this is not it. This is not my time to come back. I need to be in a better situation than this.
Not for her sad girl music that she's going to be playing in her bedroom with her candles.
Mm-mm. Go find an open mic, a coffee shop. Like, go find one of those places. Mm-hmm. Not this. But Derek and Danny I wrote down that they're clowns and they're just kind of making a menace of everything. And
yes, but see, that works because given the tone of like this talent show, it's like that actually is a really good like bit to do because it's just stupid.
Exactly. Oh, right. Sorry. They actually are clowns. They went on before Ash and Jimmy. That was their talent, was that they're clowns. Sorry. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I thought I was referring to figurative clownery. Ash and Jimmy are backstage, and Ash is like, listen, Jimster, I'm going solo, and you're not really fitting the vibe. She said that kind of more kindly, but not much.
Yeah, she's like, it's just not gonna work. Like, I never figured out the harmonies. So just accept that I'm doing this with myself.
In like seconds like, before they go on.
Yeah, he got his mic. He's like, okay, ready to go?
Ashley.
He's like, you ready? And she's like, oh, actually, it's going to be a solo. Snatching the mic from him.
Yeah. And it's not like, oh, this isn't our second time around. You know, we're in love. Like, we have futures and dreams together. She really screwed him over to someone that she, like, has a connection with.
Yeah. He's like nice about it. He's like, oh, well, okay. He's
I know. Poor Jimmy.
Poor thing.
Ash goes on stage and she's eating the check, but there's not even a check. She's just eating it. And her performance is getting booed by the Lakehurst bad people. I mean,
Johnny's like, play us a Craig song. Even Johnny DeMarco listens to Craig. He's like, that shit was, I mean, no skips.
Damn. I mean, it's tough. When the bad kids at school show up at the school event, you know it's going to be trouble because they're just there to cause chaos.
Oh, yeah. I used to feel so bad for, like, kids who did talent shows because there's always, like, one group of kids who are just, like, there to be dicks.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I remember we had one at our high school and there were these girls who were just, like, being shitty and just, like, talking through everyone's thing. It's just, like, why did you buy a ticket to this if you're just going to be an asshole? Like, it takes a lot of guts to get up on stage to do anything. Like, even when people are terrible on stage, I'm always going to give them the credit for, like, you got up on stage and you tried. And that's, like, it takes a lot of chutzpah to be able to get up on stage, especially if you're, like, you're doing your own material. Like, you wrote a song and you had to play it. Like, that's, like, really gutsy.
Yeah.
Like, you have to really have a lot of faith in yourself. So,
yeah.
Kudos to anybody who's, like, I'm a first-time performer. I want to get on stage. It's like, you know what? You go ahead. You try.
Yeah. Yeah. But unfortunately, Ash's performance, all the chutzpah in the world, it's still cringe as fuck. It's not the right setting.
It's not giving.
Because she's on stage by herself with a keyboard giving a sad song in, like, fluorescent lighting in the gym at lunchtime.
What's the song called? What is it like? She's like, tell me lies.
Yeah, tell me lies. Yeah.
It sounds good, but, like, honestly, it does sound like a song that would be, like, that would be remixed. Like, it sounds like something you would take and actually add on to, like, kind of like the song Stan. Like, how it's, like, you have the Dido song. But, like, Dido, but then it does sound better with the rap on it.
Yeah.
Like, or, like, you know, or it sounds like Tom's Diner. Like, the original is a cappella, but then when you add that, like, little, like, dance mix on it, then it's like, oh, okay, like, Tom's Diner, love this song. You know, it's like, it is missing something.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I agree.
And if she really was, like, a music girly, she would realize that.
Come on now, accept some criticism. Yeah. But Jimmy, being the real one that he is, rolls up on stage, he still has his mic, and he starts spitting rhymes over the chorus.
He's like, found another one. He's like, did she take that from you?
Right? But it's all impromptu.
He's like Barbara Streisand on Oprah with that white mic. And it's like, oh, where'd you get that from? And she's like, oh, I painted it. And he comes out. Yeah, but he starts to freestyle. He's like, oh, me and my girl, she's spitting. And he's doing his thing. And it was good. I was like,
it was good.
It was cute.
And it sounds really good. The school is getting into it. The crowd is coming alive and they're really enjoying the performance. But Ash is pissed because it wasn't her art that solely was getting the crowd over. You know what it is?
That would suck. That would suck.
It's giving that one sister in Pride and Prejudice that's always playing the piano at the party.
Yes. And she cries because everyone's like, because she plays like a hymnal or something at the turn up, and they're like, "I'm trying to, can't you play some Beethoven?" Like I'm trying to dance. I'm trying to do some like Regency era like twerking. Like, can you put on some? I don't know some. I don't know who was alive back then. I'll say Beethoven again. Yeah. Play on some Beethoven.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to do one of these. See, I'm trying to test some hands. Maybe a forearm to forearm.
Yeah, it's trying to go around in a circle, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Come on, you know, now.
We're talking about, I don't know. Yeah, she's a mess.
Yeah.
Is it, you ever see that episode of Freaks and... You watched Freaks and Geeks, right?
Yes, yes.
The episode when they have the party and they have, like, the fake beers, and then that one girl comes and starts, like, the play.
We're just finding other situations that Ash exists as a character.
Oh, everyone's like, what?
Who invited her? Jesus. You know what?
Yeah.
Ash was at her best when she was taking ecstasy. I said it.
She needs to write music on ecstasy, actually. Like, if she did, like, she has some good, some hot shit, probably.
Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. She needs a good, like, a good person to work with her to then perfect her craft to make it palatable. Because right now, it's just, it's not palatable. But she has the right bone structure, you know? Of the music.
Yeah, she's got like the framework, and she's a very talented. It's just like just, I think Ashley is someone who is like so dedicated to their art,
yes,
that like they can't understand, like, you know, sometimes you have to adapt to be successful, or you have to be okay with having a very like small niche audience.
Yeah.
And that's good too. I think she's someone who, like, wants to be a superstar, but then it's like, no, like, mm-hmm, I'm going to play my music like this. And it's like, okay, like, sometimes you strike gold and that works, but a lot of times you're just going to have to accept that you're going to be playing very small, intimate shows.
Right.
And be happy with that, you know?
And also, like, even if you make it into the business, like, people are going to, the music industry is going to take what you have and then create it and kind of add to it and make it better. And you're going to have to be okay with that it wasn't from your brain, you know?
She's just not, it's going to be very collaborative, unless you're, like, literally, like a Grimes who produces all her music by herself and, like, just does it by herself, which is, like, and if you're doing that, you have to be, like, really great to be able to do that. And and your label being okay with you just, like, having full creative freedom. But Ashley's like, no, I will not compromise my art right now. With this hip hop,
mm-hmm. In the hallway, Jimmy's really excited. He's like, "Damn, like they fucking loved it." And Ash is like blaming him for messing her up, which, from listening, you don't even hear her mess up. So it's just on her that she's thinking that she messed up. And Jimmy's at his locker and ends up dropping a book, and he has to help her. She has to help him pick it up off the ground because he can't reach it from his chair. And he's like,
I think that was a really interesting scene. I like that. That was like, that was a good moment where Degrassi was showing, not telling, like in illustrating the whole, like, I feel like I have to play a supportive role to you. And you're having that conversation, basically. It's not really being said, but that's what's being said. And then he drops his book.
Yeah.
And now she has to pick it up. And it's how, yeah, it's very interesting. I like that.
I agree.
It's a good piece of writing.
And Ash is like, listen, that's what I'm here for. And like, right, like you were kind of saying, like the kind of dynamic of the two of them is very painted. Like Jimmy is excited. He's supportive of her and like actually, like, I guess, present and like invested in like making himself and her better. And it's very clear that like Ash, I mean, I, from this, I was like, oh, Ash like kind of pities him, mm-hmm, and is kind of like, well, like, I don't, yeah, I guess pity is the best way I would say it, is like, oh, like, you know, we were together before and I still love you now, even though you're in a wheelchair. But I don't know if they hadn't dated beforehand, before the shooting, I don't know if Ash would be with Jimmy now.
I mean, that's not crazy at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
But yeah, there, I think they did a good job in that scene of kind of like really just laying out the differences between the two of them.
The sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're at the uni house, and Ellie and Ash are shit talking, and Ash is like, you know, she's obviously jealous of Jimmy, and she's like, everything just comes so easy to him. Ugh. And Ellie's like, girl, he can't walk.
Like, she's like, yeah, except walking. Like,
yeah.
That scene, I wrote that down. That shit cracked me up because it really was like, Ashley, really? Like,
yeah.
Like, I understand her frustration, like, in the dynamics of the relationship, but then to be like, everything comes easy for him. Like, he's struggled. Yeah. Like, I think
he's had just a tinge of trauma, you know?
Just a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she also has this really weird line where she's like, like, I have to, like, I've worked so hard, and he just comes up and rambles unrehearsed. And I'm just like, okay, it's called freestyle rap, which is a talent.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a very specific talent that I wish I could do. People who could just, like, go up and just, like, rap, and they just made it up as they're going. It's, like, fucking amazing. And that also takes a lot of work and to get to that point where you can do that. So it's very much, like, I think this is, I don't think she's saying this in, like, a racial way, but no. You know, like, when people talk about hip hop and rap, I'm like, oh, it's not even music. And it's like, it's that attitude of like, you clearly know nothing about the genre. So then you're deciding, like, it's therefore it's useless. It's like what? Like, it's very Ben Shapiro. Like, it's not even music. There's no melody. And it's like, that's not what, it's still music, dummy. Like,
and there,
you just, it's not for you. And that's okay. Yeah. And everything's not for you.
And it's like, it's coming from the same camp of, like, people that are like, it's nothing like, you know, rock and roll. Like, it's like, yeah, fucking black people created that too, bitch. Like,
yeah, like, literally.
You love to delete that out of history too. It's like, this people in the same camp that love to do that.
Yeah. Or even just, like, in the same vein of, like, oh, like, rambling unrehearsed. It's like, okay, what do you think, like, improvisational jazz
come
is?
On
like,
now.
People do that.
Come on.
Like, people have jams, and, like, in rock, you can just kind of, like, if you're good enough at your thing, you can do it off the cuff and not have to, like, rehearse it.
Exactly.
And just like, oh, I'm just gonna fucking play some shit and then it's gonna be something amazing. So Ashley, I don't know, maybe you're just not talented.
Come on now, come on. Like, oh, gosh. Yeah,
it's like, no, I mean, she's talented, I just, but, you know, she's in her feelings about she's, her, you
yes.
know, once again playing second fiddle to a man, which that does suck. That
listen
blows.
If that happened, Ashley's been burned quite a few times, specifically by Craig. So I think this is, like, probably time number 3 or 4 by him. So she is not in a good place. She is a bitter woman. And, like, the way that people sometimes think that women are vengeful, but we're bitter because of reason.
But rightfully so. Exactly. It's like, yeah, she's like, she is a woman scorned, and, like, I get it. I'm like, maybe Hell Hath No Fury needs to get back together.
Come
like,
on now.
I mean, Ashley, maybe you just do better in groups. Like, maybe everyone's a solo artist. Some people, like, you need a band.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Griff shows up once again and hears the track and invites, I guess this is when he invites them to open jam. Maybe that was weird before, but he's, like, again, reiterating, make sure Jimmy comes. Is Jimmy coming? Make sure Jimmy comes. And Ashley's pissed because she's like, oh, I just can't get away from him. I just want to be recognized for my own art. And we get to back to Degrassi the next day. We're in Miss Kwan's class, and she is now teaching debate. She has moved away from literature. She is now also the debate team coach. And
I'm surprised she's not making them, like, you know, they're always doing the thing that's like, oh, this is the subtext. I'm surprised she's not making them watch, like, it's not even a book, but, like, oh, A Star Is Born.
It's, yeah, like, something.
He has to die, Ashley. That's the only way you could be successful.
But maybe you might finally get... Yeah. That would be good publicity. Just saying. In a toxic
just
way.
Just saying, Ash.
Mm-hmm. But the debate is on foreign adoption, which I was like, what the fuck?
What? It's very random. A very random topic, but also, like, I guess there's a lot to debate around that.
Mm-hmm. But
should we let white people adopt kids from other parts of the world?
Hello. adoption industry is fucked. The fact that there's even an industry.
Yeah, it's weird.
Very weird.
It never occurred to me that people make money off of it. I don't know, for some reason, it's like, oh, like, it's true. Isn't it just altruistic? I don't know, for years, it's like, it's just free, right? It's like, no, girl, it's a business. I was like, oh no.
Yeah. I actually have a friend that's, what is it called? It's like adoptee deconstruction. No, that's religion deconstruction. But there's basically, like, there's a big sphere of that on the internet about basically adoptees being upfront and clear about the trauma, the inherent trauma of adoption, and how fucked up adoption is on top of that. Very interesting. Yeah. If anyone's interested online, look up
adoptee stories. I've seen a subreddit about that, especially in like transracial and like international adoptions, and like the experience of kids like who are like, you know, adopted from Korea, and then like their parents, a lot of it being like white parents adopting a child of a different race, and then like never exposing them to people of their race. So then they're like, always like the one, they're like the one Asian person in a very white town, and like the racism that they experience in their town. Also, something from the family too. Mm-hmm. And then like that fucked up kind of like, it's like, guys, you're gonna adopt somebody.
Yeah.
Do your research for you adopt, please.
Yeah, my friend is, she and her sister are two black women, black girls that were adopted, and like they were older, so I would say like out of the foster system, they were adopted at birth, and then adopted into all white family in the Bible Belt into like a white Christian family.
Oh boy.
So that's
very challenging experience. But Ms. Kwan said, let's talk about it.
Exactly. And Mia and Holly J are debating it. And things get hostile very quickly. And Ms. Kwan's
quickly just start insulting each other.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's an ad hominem attack. Tell someone that their butt's big. Debate.
Oh, God. it's giving, like, Clueless. Like the debate scene in Clueless.
Yeah, she had great points about the Haitians.
There's no Cher in the moment in this scene.
I loved finding out that Alicia Silverstone actually didn't know how to say Haitians. So she did actually pronounce it as Haitians, and they kept it because they were like the genius. And I'm like, I love it.
Love it. Perfection. but yes, that's a lovely little scene in Miss Kwan's class. We jump to the gym, and the girls' basketball team is there with Jimmy coaching. And this is when Ash comes up and tells him that the roommate wants him to come perform at the open mic or the open jam. Jimmy is like, I won't do it without you. I'm not either going to do it with you or not at all. This is also a weird scene. Ash is like, I guess I'm gonna, you know, maybe I've changed my mind. Let's do it. And she takes the basketball from Jimmy and then turns around and like shoots the basketball. And I'm like, this reminds me of last episode when Paige put on those glasses at the end of the episode and they're like, this means something. Look at this. And this is one of those scenes where it's like, what does this mean? What does Ashley shooting like the basketball mean?
Trying to be like, now she's like in his world. Like, so like, oh, like, so he's like entered into her space with the music stuff. So she's like, let's do it together. Like, see, like we're aligned now. Like I can shoot the basket. Like now we're like, see, like I'm shooting. I'm shooting hoops like you. Like, I don't know. I think that's what they were trying to do, but it was kind of like, it almost felt like they just needed a way to end the scene. They were like, I don't know, shoot this basket. Like, let's have her shoot the ball into the basket. Let's see how that looks. And then she sunk it. I wonder how many takes it took.
Good question.
Wonder that in scenes where they have to like, where like there's no editing. So it's like, they clearly made it, like, the shot. And I'm like, how many times do they have to do that? I wonder.
Who knows?
Or maybe she's that good. She's like, you know, the Michael Jordan of the cast. And she's like, boom. She would have dunked. She almost dunked. There's one scene where she dunks it, actually.
Oh, goodness. We're back in debate class, and a catfight begins with Mia and Holly J. And this is Quanah's like, listen, Mia, if you can't be professional in this professional debate environment, then you're out. And she's forced out of debate. And Holly J kind of takes a slight win. Mm-hmm. We're at the college club, which I guess we finally have a name for this club that the college kids are always going to. I think Marco's working at.
Oh, what's it called?
The college club.
Oh, okay. the college club, what is it? It is like
literally club. Called the college club. They, there's like a mini sign outside. Nope.
They didn't try too hard on that. They're like, we need a name. I love making up fake names for like stories. Like, what's gonna be the name of this place? And it's like, and they just didn't try. They're like, the college club.
Oh dear. Jimmy is about to go on stage, and Ash is nowhere to be seen. And the roommate's like, hey, Jimmy, like, good luck tonight. And he's kind of like, you know, again, giving his little Scooter Braun pitch and being like, you know, if you make it, I make it kind of deal. You know, he's like, you know, do good tonight, you know, see what happens. We get to the dot, and this is when Mia shows up to see Sav with her daughter.
Because of course.
Because it's Teen Mom 3 or Teen Mom 4.
Yes. Yeah.
Teen Mom Toronto.
Teen Mom.
Teen Mom. Yes. Yes.
Teen Mom.
Oh God. And she's like, listen, I'm sorry about the debate club. And he's like, don't worry. It's okay. Holly J is, you know, Holly J. And they end up having a little connection, and you know, Mia kind of slyly roundabout the way sees if he's single and if he's connected to Holly J, and she finds out that he is single. And so she's like, And they have their first family date.
She's like, a new baby daddy.
Yeah. We get back to the college club, and Jimmy performs and he does super well. People are vibing. He's got the crowd going. And Ash arrives after Jimmy starts and go and connects and talks with the agent, who admits that he's doing well. Jimmy's doing well. And after the performance, Ash sits with Jimmy, and the manager comes up and's like, "Oh my gosh, this said big name record company is really interested in both you, Jimmy, the performer, and Ash, the producer." And we think, wow, this is going to be great. The two of them can work in capacities that they're both good at and still be successful as a team. What could go wrong?
Yeah. Which again, like, but I guess it's interesting because I mean, but was, I guess what I'm not clear on, originally, you know, their whole thing was like, we're going to be like power couple lawyers in New York, right? I'm wondering whose idea that was, because it felt very, you know, was it Jimmy's idea or was it a joint effort? Because it seemed like up until this point that it was like, oh, we're both like, this is our plan. And then she's the one who jumped ship. So I'm like, or was it always his plan? I wish like,
Feel like, I can't remember if it was both their plans or whose plan it was originally. But I remember when he really wanted to do art and the t-shirt thing, she was against that because it was going against the plan that they had for the two of them in New York. Do you remember that?
Right. Yeah. So that's why it is kind of like, you're both clearly artists at heart. Mm-hmm. And why did we both decide that we wanted to like do this random thing? Like, I think it's where I'm at. It's just because it seems kind of random. Like, we're going to be lawyers in New York. It's like, okay. But up until this point, we had only ever seen them be artistic or athletic. Yeah. We've seen Jimmy be into sports and then also like be in bands and rapping. And we've seen Ashley only do music. So it was very random that like, oh, which isn't to say that just because they did music, they couldn't do something different. But it's just like that choice, it seemed random. And that's why I was very like curious to know where that dream came from. Like, what was that catalyst? Because it's like, oh, you guys seem like you were very much like you're going to write music for Kevin Smith's movie. Like, and then it's right. just like, oh, now I'm going to be like a lawyer. And it's like, yeah. okay. Oh, interesting. And not even like entertainment lawyers. It's just like, we're going to do like family law. Like, okay. okay. Yeah. Sure.
But Jimmy closes out. He's like, listen, wherever you go, you're coming with me. And I was like, oh, Jimmy.
Which, you know, can read very poorly to where Ashley is just like, oh, I'm coming with you. Like, it's mm-hmm. not like us going together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ashley needs to be single. She needs to work on herself and forge her own path. Like, maybe you need to stop dating for a little bit.
She's the girly that since high school, she's always had a boyfriend, a long-term boyfriend, because she started out with Degrassi dating Jimmy.
Yeah.
Broke up with him, started dating Craig. No, sorry. Got back with Jimmy in her goth phase and then broke up with Jimmy to be with Craig because they're both musical. And then that ended. And then Jimmy got shot. She went away to England and then was started dating British that guy there. Came yeah. back, broke up with him. Dated Craig again?
No, very quickly started dating Jimmy again.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, God. Yeah, maybe you should try being single, girl. Like, that could be really Please. Great for you.
But she's not. We've all went to college with this girl. Like, she's a yeah. serial dater.
Yeah, never a serial monogamous, like never,
yeah,
you know, never single. And it's like, you really should consider that because being single can be really great for a young woman.
Yes. But we get a quick scene at Degrassi. Mia and Sav have connected at the locker, but Sav has slept on it. He realized again, he's like, oh, I'm the hot guy at high school. And then there's a new pool, a dating pool. And I'm top of the food chain. I'm not trying to get attached to the pregnant girl. The former pregnant girl, now teen mom. So I'm trying to sow my oats. And he's like, listen, you know, Mia, you're real cool. Like, I feel like we could be great friends. But I'm just not really looking to get into anything right now, you know? I don't want to jump into anything.
Fair, especially when you brought your child to the date.
Yes, I agree.
And now I'm like, okay, now I guess I have like a whole, I guess I'm a father now.
it's tough. And Holly J overhears this and trolls Mia once again. And Mia's like, listen, bitch, if you're going to treat me like that, I'm going to kick you out of my locker. This is also my diaper bag, so I've got to have room, you know?
Honestly, respect.
Yeah.
I love that she did that. She said, get the fuck out. And I'm like, you know what? Good for you, Mia. Assert yourself.
Exactly. Oh, sorry. That was funny. But yeah, our final scene is in the media immersion room, the recording studio. Ash and Jimmy are at the computer again. They're about to send out their demo to the record company with Ashley and Jimmy rapping together, just like they did at the show. And they connect, and Ash is, you know, they're in good spirits. Everything's going great. And Ash is mixing. And she's like, you know, oh, I gotta make some final touches. And Jimmy's like, oh, my girlfriend, the perfectionist. And he ends up leaving before she exports the file. And lo and behold, she goes ahead and deletes his track completely and leaves herself solo on the final cut and exports to a CD-ROM. The shade.
The
disrespect.
Like, but also, bad move, because if the people specifically want both of you, they might just reject you because they pulled you because of your producer abilities. And part of that was being able to mix his track with your track and making it a good song. So in her deleting it, I know they're trying to illustrate like, oh, Ashley's going her own way. I'm like, Ashley, you're going to get, they're not even going to like, they're going to be like, what is this? We asked for this. Because at the end of the day, like you are, it is kind of like working for a client. It's like they wanted this to hear this. You better give them that. Don't give them something else. And then they're going to be like, okay, this is not what we asked for. Thank you very much. And they will not take another meeting with you.
Exactly. Ashley's stupid.
That was a dumb move on her part. That was a very stupid move.
Yeah, that's really stupid. And really like a terrible thing to do to someone as well. Like someone that really you supposedly love. That's really fucked up.
It's really fucked up, yeah.
Because at first I was like, oh, she's about to make like her own copy and send both. I didn't realize she was about to delete him completely and then just never send that in.
Yeah.
Ashley. But this is what she
does. I'm trying to wonder, does that storyline ever like resolve itself? I don't know. I can't remember, but yeah, Ashley's a mess.
That's the episode, so we're going to see
where that
goes. See how their love story continues. I think it's one-sided love story, but
yeah. Lauren, what song did you choose for this episode?
So I didn't write down, but I had it. I knew it was Vanessa Carlton, which is why I accidentally played 1,000 Miles with a second of that song. But I don't want to choose 1,000 Miles. Gonna go back a few years, and I'm gonna go back to a collaboration of Vanessa Carlton with the Counting Crows, Big Yellow Taxi, Put Up a Parking Lot, whatever the fuck they're saying in that song. But I feel like this is the collaboration that never was, that never made it to Craig's album. And she, you know, if she really like wanted to be successful, she could have been in a Big Yellow Taxi in New York City, but she's gonna screw herself over and Jimmy in the process.
Nice. I decided to go with that song. I think they're one hit wonders, but Fort Minor, Where'd You Go, because it has the same sort of like, do you remember that song?
Yes.
Yeah, it had that mix of kind of like the woman on like the chorus, all the kind of ethereal piano music, and then with like the rap. But they're all white. But like their song sounded a lot like that, kind of like, you know, I feel like this is the era when everyone was like, for some reason, even though Walk This Way with Aerosmith and Run DMC had happened like 20 years before, everyone was like, oh, you know, like what's really cool if you mix like rap and rock. And it's like, we've known this like for a long time, actually. We've been listening to the Beastie Boys. It's literally come that. But okay. Yeah. Thanks. But yeah, that's what I went with. Nice but choice. We will be back next week for a twofer, and we will have hopefully a special guest with us.
Yes.
And we are going to be watching. Sorry. Yes. Cool. Death or Glory, parts 1 and 2. Synopsis. In part 1, tensions between Lakehurst and Degrassi students continue to rise in packed classrooms and the war for school turf. Oh, sorry. Tensions between Lakehurst and Degrassi students continue to rise amid packed classrooms and the war for school turf.
Got it.
But Jane, the adorable yet tough new Lakehurst girl, is Spinner's target in hostile territory. He also gets a scary diagnosis. Meanwhile, Darcy believes she has to come to terms with her rape, but her actions prove this to be wrong when she acts out in class. And in part 2, Spinner seems to be doing himself in before his illness kills him when he begins acting out recklessly and picking fights with the Lakehurst thugs. Meanwhile, Marco finally begins to accept that Dylan is really gone and starts to socialize with other people.
Damn, Marco, it took you this long?
Yeah. That was like a few episodes ago. That boy is out there slanging pipe in Switzerland. Like, are you still over here like, Dylan. It's like,
are you going to text me back, Dylan?
Like, Dylan is sending you, like, some serious shorthand texts and emails. Like, I think you're done. But so excited to dig into this two-parter next week. It should be a fun time. Lauren, do you have anything else you want to add?
I think that's it. Yeah. Be sure to reach out to us at EWSpod. And also our email will be linked in the description as well. And again, if we are fully transitioned to a new hosting platform. But if you have any issues finding the podcast or seeing it on Wednesdays, please reach out and let us know.
Awesome. But thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you later, Broomheads.
Bye, Broomheads.